There are those among us, co-travelers across the landscape of existence, who have leaped from the edge that marks the perceptual outer boundary of what we call appearances, only to splash down safely in the so much more interesting land of substance. And during the fall, they've discovered two things. One, that somewhere along life's highway, each of us is confronted with the question, what is the truth? And two, though the answer may be, I don't know, there is an endless line of people out there who prefer to speculate. Believe it or don't. Rolling out of Elk City, Texas on a misty, overcast morning, my pal Tony Rico must have realized that his sojourn into the mists of his mind was coming to an end. We'd been on the road for 5 days, but in about another 36 hours, we'd be pulling into Kansas City again. With what? 7 days of fat times and thinner wallets? Insight into the human condition? A better attitude? God knows I've been accused of having a bad attitude. But whatever it was that was steaming the windows on my buddy's point of view, Tony had started to experience some slippage in his process period and seemed to be reverting to his more natural destination mode of operation. In his mind, I sensed he was getting closer to re-entry to life as he'd known it. And in my view, he was becoming over-focused. Given our unblemished record to date, I wanted to make sure that Tony's desire to achieve results didn't sully our heretofore excellent relationship with state and local law enforcement agencies. So if speed became part of the process, our destination might never be reached. So in an effort to rejoin the fight against the forces of expectation, I decided to startle him with a question. Something to get his mind off his destination, which, by the way, was Tulsa, and back into the pursuit of wisdom and the art of relaxation. Rico, I said, how would you compare and contrast appearances versus substance within the context of depth of character in the human species? Oh, he yelped, that's a good one. And oddly enough, one which I was recently discussing with my partner. Tell it, I said, as I noticed the speedometer needle descend to a position indicating that we were once again street legal. What did he say, and did you agree? Well, it's a subject which it would appear both of us had given some thought to, he said, but that, as you might imagine, one upon which we were not in total agreement. He went on. He held the view, he said, that depth of character was evidenced by someone being able to get past their own emotional barriers and thereby share their true, most inner feelings about a subject with someone else. On the other hand, he continued, I see that view as not much more than the willingness of someone to express their opinion, which, like certain other things, we all happen to have. Tell me more, my friend, I said as the miles traveled leisurely beneath our wheels. What's your view? Tony paused for a moment to gaze out at the Texas panhandle rolling by and sort of collect his thoughts. I see it more as being able to listen to what the other guy has to say, he said, and not jump to the conclusion that he's full of it just because I don't happen to agree with him. I mean, unless I can really look at things from his point of view, I haven't really explored the reality of who I am. Tony, my man, I shouted, raising my hand through the sunroof in the slow white guy gesture of triumph. High fives all around, for you have just elucidated relaxation lesson number 6, to wit. When you finally achieve the zenith of relaxation, you'll not be able to judge others based upon mere appearance, because you'll be looking at them in a mirror, one that allows you to stare deep into the reality of your own reflection at the same time. By the time we hit Tulsa, the skies were clearing and the sun was setting. Following the recommendation of a friend, we headed for the city's Major League Hyatt to acquire a room for the night. We found the place, though not without some difficulty, and sauntered in to satisfy our dual needs for lodging and refreshment. But upon taking our place at the check-in station, we discovered a self-inflicted downside to our week-long reverie. For the reality was, it was Labor Day weekend. And according to the intransigent young man behind the counter, there were no rooms at the inn. "Any suggestions?" we asked. He looked us over real disgusted-like and said, "I doubt you'll find anything in town." We repaired to the bar to assess our options and ordered one each of our favorite beverage with another back. While we slaked our thirst and pondered our circumstance, I noticed two things. I noticed that this bar, like virtually every other bar in the world, had a mirror that faced those like us who occupied the bar stools while using our elbows to make sure its horizontal surface didn't float away. And second, I noticed that in that mirror, I saw the reflection of two guys who, in all honesty, looked exactly like the 1,237 miles of hard road that we were. Now, mind you, we just spent all day on the road and hadn't shaved for, this be late on the sixth day of our journey, but we figured we were riding the lead wave in the coming golden age of service and just knew that if we presented ourselves as the confident, good-natured, well-spoken adults that we were, and of course led with the gold card, that we would be received in a manner befitting our true character. Surely it had not been our mere appearance that had caused the desk clerk to suggest we look elsewhere for lodging. The bartender, though in the process of setting up for the evening, overheard our discussion and offered to help. It seemed he had a friend who worked registration at a big-ass Sheraton nearby, and he'd be glad to call her and assess their lodging availabilities. Two more beers and the word came back in the affirmative that a room was, in fact, available. All that was needed was, yes, the number off the gold card. We paid up and thanked our new friend profusely as he drew us a map to our destination. And from the look on his face, it had been some time since he'd received a 300% tip. But as we were leaving, the desk clerk's attitude kept gnawing at my mind. I had to know. So once more, I hauled my 6'3", 197-pound unshaven carcass over to his location and asked once again, quite politely, "My good friend, by any chance, have any rooms come available?" Once again, he gave me a look like he just stepped in wild animal entrails. "No," was all he said. We stood there for a moment, exchanging stares. Then I glanced over each shoulder as if to make sure we were alone and leaned across the counter so my whispered words might be delivered with just the appropriate restraint of certainty. "Listen," I said, "I just know there's going to be a room available in this hotel tonight. I can feel it. So I plan to wait in the bar until that happens. Now, take a good look at me. Do you really want me hanging out in your bar all night, waiting for a room?" "I'll check and see if we have any cancellations," the little pencil neck said. "Why, yes, we did just receive a cancellation on a double room." "That's great," I said with a generous smile. "But I've already got one, but thanks just the same." Once again, good manners and the code of the West prevent me from sharing all the details of that night's activities, but it should be noted, for those of you who might find yourself in Tulsa, Oklahoma of an evening while on the road to somewhere, it's a happening town. So as we cast a pensive eye toward the dawn of our last day on this particular journey, considering the truths that we know and others upon which we can only speculate, we'll say good night and we'll catch you on a flip-flop.
Join us next time for day 7 of 6 days out, 1 day back. A road trip.